good to be here again. It feels kind of funny to be here on Wednesday night, but it's good to be here anyway. My fan feels good here. It's hot over in that corner. Ask God to bless before you get started, you know. I am thankful that God kind of confirmed that I wasn't sure about this lesson. I thought, well, I've taught it before, and I've said, you know, the truth should never get old to us. You know, it should never get old to us. But then, what I've been studying on this week, I got to use every bit of it to help this guy today. And he asked, I could not believe, Brother Wilson, how he had asked just about everything that I studied on. And if I hadn't known what I was studying, if I hadn't known this topic pretty good, well, I couldn't help him at all. He already claims to be saved, so Brother Wilson taught a good lesson last week or 2 weeks ago about what it takes to be saved. You got to learn to study and believe the gospel. But Paul says that he wants you to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. So he laid the foundation. Now I'll lay a few bricks on the house now. Okay? And this is just a simple lesson. Should be to us. If you already know it, you should be able to amen it, back it up. Or find fault if I say it wrong. If you don't know it, maybe this year will be something heavy. But the rest of the more times you hear something, the more you know it. You know, and if you don't use something, if you was a mechanic, Mark, for a while, and then you quit for a little while, and you go back to it again, you may forget some things. You know, you may forget to put something on, take something off, whatever. You need to be at it all the time. So I revisit this topic sometimes quite often, but let's ask God to bless before you get started. Father, we come to you thanking you for how you blessed us, God, how you confirmed to you, God, the message you want us to teach, Father. Lord, we know, God, it may be a simple thought, God, but we pray, Lord, that you'd help me to be able to step aside and use my mouth and my body, God, that you could make this topic plain, dear God, it might be edifying to the body, dear God. We pray, Lord, you might help us as we go out into the world, God, we could take this lesson to help the rest of the world, Father, Lord. There's so much false doctrine out there, God, so much confusion, God, out there that the devil has thrown so much into the world. If they don't know what to believe, so we pray, God, if we could learn ourselves, God, if we could learn ourselves, then we can actually take it out to somebody. We can't take something to them we don't know ourselves. So we pray, God, you help us as we study tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wrote this. I'm going to just read you a little short thing I wrote last night. And this is a prophecy in the future, okay? And just, let's see. Sometime in the unknown future, Christ will come in an hour when we think not. At that time, Christ will rapture or snatch away his church. In the blink of an eye, the saved who are dead will come out of their graves, and the saved who are alive will disappear. Airplanes will lose their saved pilots and passengers. Cars will lose their drivers. Cars and planes will be crashing everywhere. People will not know what's going on. Those who are raptured will return to him, with him to heaven, while back on earth, there's utter chaos. Wars and rumors of wars on every side. Pestilences, famines too. People will be desperate for food. There will be a tribulation like never has been nor ever shall be. Those who are desperate will be willing to do anything to feed their family. There will be a man come on the scene who is able to calm their fears and bring peace to all the wars and set up a new world order. The only stipulation is that you must use the new one world currency and take a universal mark in your right hand or in your forehead in order to buy or sell anything. Many will try to hold out and not take the mark, but for the sake of the family and their own life, many will succumb to it. Those who are strong enough to withstand the entire duration of such tribulation, which will last 7 years, will now be saved. At the end of 7 years, Christ will now return to earth yet again for the third time, and all his children shall gather in Jerusalem, rage a great battle in the valley of Megiddo, which is known as the Great Battle of Armageddon. Christ shall enter riding a great white horse, having a bow in his hand and a sword. He will destroy all those who oppose him with one swoop of his sword. After he has literally killed millions of people, he will now at that time establish a little kingdom in the city of Jerusalem. He shall sit upon the throne of David and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 1,000 years. This time period will be known as the millennium or a millennial kingdom. We shall have all power, and Satan and his angels shall be chained up, not allowed to have any power over the earth. After 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed for a short space of time, allowed to wreak havoc on those who are left. Finally, at the end of all this, Jesus will take his church and his kingdom and go back to God. After this, the rest of those on earth who would not serve Jesus were brought to the lake of fire. Now that's a good read material. Make a great story. It would make a great movie, but it's false. It'd be that. That is what the world is propagating, though. This is the end time, according to 90% of the world. This is what they think. But that's a lot of confusion, you know? Lots of confusion. What is Babylon? Confusion. There's no way that I can go into all those details, and because I just made that stuff up. Well, actually, I just borrowed their ideas and made this paper up. But that's what they're teaching. As truth. This is what the guy asked me today. These things here. Will this happen? Will that happen? Will the church be here when the rapture happens? I said, no. He said, well, when the tribulation comes, will they be here? I said, no, because it happened several thousand years ago.
Yeah.
Huh? He said, but during that thousand years, I said, yep, that happened too. He said, but he kept asking. I said, it's all gone, man. It's all gone. I said, his kingdom ain't going to start. It has started.
That's right.
And so what I want to teach about is the kingdom of God. Is it today or will it come in the future? And most of you know the answer to that. And if you don't, you'll find that's not real good if you'll be open to God's Spirit. That other stuff would make great, because it has made great movies. Be good entertainment, but it is fake. It's called fiction.
Yeah,
science fiction.
Right.
Timothy said, I think it's Timothy. Peter says, in the day of the Lord, the earth shall melt with fervent heat. If it melts with fervent heat, who's going to be left here to drive the airplanes and cars? Who's going to care about buying bread? It's going to melt instantly. It's going to melt. But we're not going to go into the rapture. Not going to go into the millennium. Not going to go into the mark of the beast and all those things. Because if I can show you, if you can grasp the kingdom of God, that'll knock out the millennial kingdom, the rapture, and the tribulation in one fell swoop. I can get three with one if you understand what the kingdom really is. Okay, I'm going to try my best to use a KISS method.
Yeah.
Keep it short and sweet. But there's another one, but I won't say that one.
I was thinking
of
that. Never mind.
Yeah. But in Matthew, the third chapter. When will the kingdom of God come? And I've taught much before, and you probably get tired of hearing it, but this is what God laid in my heart. It says, in those days came John the Baptist. In those days. Now, okay. Did anybody see John the Baptist about this week? Was he at Walmart or anywhere else? No. John the Baptist had never seen a woman. John the Baptist lived 2,000 years ago, okay? So in those days, 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist, he came preaching in the wilderness saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very important to know that when John the Baptist was preaching, it was at hand then. Brother Rusty, if you work all week, you're probably going to get paid next Friday or Thursday. I'm not sure what day you get paid, right? Your check is at hand, right? Well, if you work for a week and didn't get it for a week, then you kind of worry. 2 weeks you wait, you get kind of worried. If you wait 2,000 years for a paycheck, it ain't at hand.
No.
It ain't at hand. That sounds like a government kind. You know, it's not coming. At hand means ready to appear.
Right.
John the Baptist 2,000 years ago said the kingdom of heaven is ready to appear. Okay. Matthew, the fourth chapter. When Jesus came on the scene, he changed the message and started preaching something else. Nope, he didn't. You know what? He followed right behind him, preached the same thing. He says, Matthew 4:17, and from that time, whenever Jesus was baptized and everything, and tempted by the devil, he said, at that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, if John the Baptist may have not known for sure, Jesus knew for sure. And Paul, John did too, but there's no question. Jesus said, if something's at hand, it is at hand. It's not going to come in the future. Luke, the 17th chapter. Another thing, I didn't write this in my notes. I don't think I did anyway. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I told the guy today, I said, you know, it is my notes too, but I'm going to say it anyway. God said he would set up a kingdom that would have no end, right? There's no question that. 1,000 years is a long, long time. Longer than I'll ever live. But you know what? It has an end.
Yeah.
So if Christ's kingdom is only going to be on earth for 1,000 years, either something's wrong because it's got an end. His kingdom will have no end.
Right.
Luke, the 17th chapter, in verse 20. Jesus is talking here, and they're asking about when the kingdom comes. He says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, which were religious, most of the time his predecessors were the religious people. It says, when the kingdom of God should come, and he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall you say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So why are we looking for a time and a date and a place in the future when we shall say it's here or there? When Jesus plainly told us that the kingdom of God is within you, not without you, it's not going to be a literal kingdom whenever he can sit on a literal throne and reign. Yeah. If he wanted to do that, he could have done it the first time. Because they tried to come get him one time and make him king.
Yeah, they did.
Whenever Pilate was asking him, he said, are you a king? He said, thou sayest.
Yeah.
And I was, yeah. He didn't come out and say it, but he said, thou sayest it. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If he said that then, why would he now change it to a literal of this world kingdom? He said, my kingdom is not of this world, else my servants would raise up and fight. So it's not going to be ever a time that we have a literal kingdom on this earth. We are reigning today. I didn't write this one down either. Last night, I don't know if you guys, who preach or teach, you ever get up here, and your notes don't correspond with what God's putting in your head. But I'm going to follow my head, not because of my notes here. But anyway, he told in Colossians, he said that he would deliver the kingdom up. Now up, and in my way of thinking, up is from lower to go up. Well, they keep saying we're a kingdom to come down. There's no scripture for that. There's also in Revelation 1 and 9, he said, I am thy fellow servant in the tribulation and in the kingdom. 2,000 years ago, they were already in the kingdom, okay?
Yes.
It's not something in the future. Matthew 16 and 28. Now see, if you see the kingdom here, there's no need for a rapture.
Yeah.
We take that away, because the rapture is preceding the kingdom. If the kingdom's over here, then that means something's happened. There's no need for all these things. Matthew 16, 28. Verily, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here. Jesus is talking to people, like he faces the crowd he's talking to. He said, there's some standing right here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. My question is, I've asked this several times, do you know any 2,000-year-old people? If His kingdom is still not yet come, there's some old people waiting to see it.
Doing a lot of Social Security,
you better believe it. Something ain't right. There's another option, and Virginia will let me say it. What if this option here? If there's not 2,000-year-old people, and it is in the future, Jesus is a liar. One or the other.
Right.
And you know he's not a liar, because if he's a liar, he's a sinner, his sacrifice is no good, and you're still lost.
That's right.
Okay? So he didn't lie.
Right.
He didn't push it 2,000 years out in the future. The people that stood there with him saw him come in the kingdom. In Matthew 26. In verse 29. Let's go back to 26. 26 and 26. Last Supper, he says, whenever he's fixing to give his life for us, he says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to his disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, said, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you again in my Father's kingdom. He said, I'll never touch this fruit again. I'll never drink another drop with you. And another place I think it's in Luke, I didn't write it down. In Luke he says, I won't eat again until I eat it new with you in my kingdom. Okay, we're talking about the kingdom of God, right? I'm not going to eat nor drink until I eat in the kingdom again. Acts the 10th chapter. These are Christ's words, not mine. Acts 10 in verse 10, excuse me, Acts 10 verse 40. This is Paul talking, Peter talking to Cornelius, and he said, Him God raised up the third day, and he slew him openly, not to all people, showed him openly, not to all people, but unto the witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Now he promised them, I'll never eat with you or drink with you ever again until I'm in my kingdom. Now either he slipped up and ate and drank and forgot what he said, or he's a liar, or his kingdom has already come. I'm of the opinion that he's already came. There's too many things. He wouldn't forget. He don't lie. His kingdom had came back then. It's already here. A kingdom has to have a king. Well, we got that. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so we got that. It's got to have servants. Looking at one, I'm one of his servants. We're part of the kingdom. We're under his, and in the kingdom, you got to have power. If you don't have power here, you're not going to have power there.
Right.
We got power over sin, we got power over self, we got power over the devil.
Yes.
So we got everything you need to have a kingdom. And it is in a present tense reality. John, the 18th chapter. John 18, 36. That's the one I quoted a while ago. I should have waited. But it says, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered of the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. It's not of the earth. It's not going to be where there's place that he has a headquarters in. He had a headquarters and it's in heaven. We don't have to go to a certain literal place to see the king.
That's right.
We can see him in Lenore at the library. We can see him in Hudson at your own house. You can wherever. We don't have to do that anymore. Over in Daniel, there's some prophecy related to this, and I think I quoted a while ago too. Daniel talked about a kingdom that was going to come. And the thing about it is, it not only talks about a kingdom to come, it tells you when. A lot of people are overlooked. They read too fast. They don't read, just stop and listen to what they're saying. I learned something very valuable from you, Brother Wilson, a long time ago. You told the whole congregation on who all listened, but I listened. Is you said, remember who's writing, who they're writing to, and what they're writing about. And slow down and listen to what you're reading. Made a big difference in my life. I started listening. You also said a statement a long time ago. You may not remember. You said, why do you believe what you believe? Because I preach it? Because you said it yourself? At that time, several years ago, because you said it. If you said the grass was purple, I'd have believed you. But now I study it for myself. I got my own experience. If you go back, if my wife goes back, but the rest of you go back. You start talking crazy stuff. You do it. Go ahead. I'm not going with you. I have my own experience because you challenged me many years ago to read it for myself. In Daniel, the second chapter, verse 36, it says, I'm going to paraphrase part of it. King Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. And he said, he called all his soothsayers in and said, now tell me what I dreamed.
Yeah.
And what it means. They said, well, you tell me what you dreamed, and I'll tell you what it means. He said, well, I don't remember. But you tell me, I'll kill you. And so they called Daniel. He said, Daniel, the fish can get killed if you don't tell the dream to him. Don't tell him what it means. He said, well, I have a God that shows me all things. He said, let me go and pray. He goes, praise, come back, and he said, Nebuchadnezzar, God has shown me what you dreamed and what it means. And this is what he's talking about. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation before the king. Thou, O King, art a King of Kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever... Let me just tell you what the vision was. I didn't tell you that. Nebuchadnezzar saw a vision of a statue. A great big image. And it was made up of different materials. The head of it was made of gold. The breast and arms were made of bronze, I think. Are you sure? Brass. Made of brass. The midsection was made of, let me see what it was for. I didn't write that down. The belly was brass. No, it was gold, silver, brass, and then iron and clay. So it was a statue made of multiple things. So that's what he saw. He said, here's what you saw. Thou art a king of kings, for God of heaven hath given thee power, a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, and the beast of the field and the fowls of the air hath given thee into thy hand. And he made thee a ruler over them all. Thou, now listen here, he's explaining to him. You won't know when the kingdom comes if you don't know the kingdom who preceded it. It says, thou art this head of gold. So there was a kingdom set up back in Nebuchadnezzar's day, during Isaiah's day, Jeremiah's day. He said, you're it. The Babylonian kingdom is the head of gold. And you're its head. You're the leader. History backs this up. He said, after that, after thee, shall rise another kingdom. Notice it's always a kingdom, a kingdom, and a kingdom. Inferior to thee, because silver is inferior to gold. If I had my choice, I'd have gold. Of course, I wouldn't mind some silver too, but gold is more precious than silver. But it says, another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, as iron that breaketh all these things, it shall break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and but there shall be in its strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall partly be strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Okay, I'll stop there now and go to the Father. What that means was, simple, the Babylonian kingdom ruled the entire world at one time. It was a great kingdom. They still talk about the Babylonian gardens today. But even that great power fell. It fell, and history backs me up, it fell to the Medo-Persian kingdom. If you know anything about Daniel, Daniel was part in the Babylonian kingdom and part in the Medo-Persian kingdom because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was cast in the fire by Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel was cast in line then by Darius, which is the kingdom afterwards. So he overlaps into two different kingdoms. But the Medo-Persians come along and destroy Babylon, take over the entire world then. They do well for a while, or I don't know if I say it's well, they do bad for a while. And they rule the world until Alexander the Great comes along with his army, takes over the world in eight years. And then the Grecian kingdom took over, but it lasted just a little while until the Roman Empire came. That fourth beast that's strong as iron but mixed with clay was the Roman Empire.
Right.
Let me ask you something. Anybody who knows anything about history, when Jesus was born, who was in power? The Roman Empire, right? That's common knowledge. Herod was part of the Roman Empire, and he's the one who had them taxed the reason Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Right.
So, just by common, historically thinking, all these kingdoms line up, right? The next verse. In the days of these kings, you know, which kings? The ones you just talked about. The four kingdoms came in succession, and then the fourth one is in power. In the days of these kings shall God set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest a stone cut out of a mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. For the dream is certain, and the interpretation, therefore, is sure. That kingdom, that stone cut out of a mountain, is talking about Jesus Christ. No man had a part in his conception. The Holy Ghost came over Mary. She had a son as a virgin. He was the stone cut out of a mountain. He was the one who was going to set up the kingdom. He's the one who set up in the days of those kings. If it's in the future, then the Roman Empire is going to have to come back into power when it happens, because he said he would do it in the days of those kings. And he says when it does come, there will be no more kingdoms. You can forget anybody else being a world superpower. I mean, Hitler done a great job of trying to take over the world. It didn't last. Nothing lasts because God's kingdom will last forever. There's never going to be another kingdom rule the entire world. Daniel 7th chapter. This was Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel also had a vision. Corresponds with it, but a little bit different. In Daniel 7 and 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Belshazzar is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. This is at the latter end of the kingdom of Babylon. Daniel had a dream and visions of his head on his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw him the vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon a great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings were plucked thereof were plucked. And it was lifted from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet of a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like unto a bear, it raised up on one side, had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. And as I beheld, lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and beheld there came up from among them a little horn, before whom there were three, the first one plucked up by the roots. And behold, the horn, in this horn were eyes, and the eyes like a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Who is the Ancient of Days? Who is the oldest that you know of? Who is the Ancient of Days? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came in the days of those kings. Those four beasts are the same kingdoms that he saw back in whenever Nebuchadnezzar had it. It was just a statue. Same people. He said, in those days, the Ancient of Days came upon the scene and beheld the thrones, and the Ancient of Days sit on it. The Ancient of Days is Christ. He sat upon the throne back then, Brother Wilson.
Yes.
He's still on the throne.
Yes,
he'll never be throned again. He will always be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He don't have to wait till the coronation day because he was crowned 2,000 years ago. Some people are waiting for a day in the future when we'll all go in and we'll watch him get his crown. Well, you've already missed it. He's done got his crown. He's already reigning. He's already sitting on the right hand of the Father. The right hand, if you know anything about symbolic in the kingdom, was...
Right.
The right hand man, we get saying, he's your right hand man.
Yeah.
That's the guy who does all the bidding. He's the guy who is in charge. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. He is in charge. He's already King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he comes back, he'll already be a king. When he came the first time, he was born king. He wasn't born and then became king. He was born king. Whenever the three wise men came, or we don't know how many, but when the wise men came and brought three gifts, they brought three things: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know why? One thing, you don't come before a king without a gift.
That's right.
They knew that. But they also, you give, I can't remember exactly which one's which, but you give a gold, in those days it was symbolic, you give a gold to a king, you give a frankincense to a priest, and you give myrrh to a prophet. They brought three gifts. He was all three. He was king, prophet, and priest, all in one. He was all of those. So, the kingdom has already started, what I'm getting at. Keep reading, it says, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from him. A thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. And I beheld until the beast was slain, his body was destroyed and given in a burning flame. And as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, and yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions and beheld one like the Son of Man. That's got to be Jesus Christ right there. He said, I saw. Now, this is Brother Wilson, probably a couple thousand years before he was ever born. He said, I saw the Son of Man.
Yeah. Right.
Came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days and brought him near before him. And there was given to him a dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That was given to him way, way back then. The next two scriptures of God I've already quoted. Colossians, he brings up the kingdom. And in Revelation 1:9, I'm in the kingdom with you. Yeah. Revelation 20:1-8. This guy that I was talking to today about when will the rapture come and the millennium come and when will this stuff come, he said, but in Revelation 20, I said, let me tell you about that. Revelation 20. I'm hoping for the rest of that one day I can sit down and just go through it with him. It's hard. Whenever you're working side by side at every table, it's hard to shout back and forth, which I did. I'm not ashamed of it. But it's hard to really get any truth to two things. He's working over there, and he speaks Spanish, so it's a little hard. There's a little language barrier. But he speaks a little English, so we're trying our best to overcome the language barrier. That's the gift of tongues. If I can get this across to him, that's the gift of tongues. Not hubba, hubba, hubba. That's not the gift of tongues. But he referred to this millennial kingdom. And even in this Bible, which is a good Bible, the Hebrew Greek study Bible, Spyros Zodiotis is a very good Greek guy, but he's far off on his doctrine. He even says this is the millennial kingdom. That doesn't change it. That's his words. That's not God's words. He said, and I saw, Revelation 21, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and having great chains in, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he shall not see the nations no more, till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they stood upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with him with Christ 1,000 years. I tell you what, I tell you right now that there's something wrong, because I don't know anybody who's lived for 1,000 years. They said they lived and reigned with him for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection. And if you read it like that, and don't know any of the history, don't know what it's talking about, and take this as a literal book, that sounds like what I just read to you first, about a future kingdom coming for 1,000 years and blah, blah, blah. That's not what it's talking about. You need to know what all these symbols are. And I'll try my best to give you a little of those symbols. And I'll have time to go back and verify all of them. I can prove it to you if you give me time. But for space of time, I'm going to tell you what that means. It says, and he laid hold upon the dragon, that old serpent, which was the devil and Satan, bound him for 1,000 years. That is not talking about the literal Satan, the beast. No. That is talking about, believe me, it's talking about the Roman paganism. Yep. In those days, Satan worked through paganism. Worship the god of your choice. That's who it was. That's what was when Jesus came on the scene. He was had to face paganism. They had the pantheon where you could worship any god you wanted to,
right.
But just don't send anybody to nobody else's god. That's the dragon. That's the one that was bound for 1,000 years. And I could prove it to you if I had time. Let me just prove to you it's not the real Satan, because whenever Satan was was living inside of Legion. What his name was, there's 1,000 of them living in him, a couple thousand. They couldn't even hold one man with chains. How are you going to hold a great big dragon? How big a chain is that? Besides that, it's a spirit. How are you going to lay hold on a spirit? You don't have flesh. This is not talking, this is it's a symbolic book. But anyway, Brother Wilson, before this angel came and bound this spirit, you could worship anybody. You could worship yourself. You could worship that baby, you can worship that computer, you can worship anything. But whenever this angel came, whenever for that 1,000 years when the Roman Catholic Church was in power, you was a Catholic or you died. There was no third option. You didn't worship nothing else. You either worship at the feet of the Pope or else we'll kill you. For 1,000 years the dragon was bound, not Satan. Satan was working through, because he says that the Pope got his seat, power, and authority from the dragon.
Right.
But the thing about it was, in that 1,000 years, which has already passed, the millennium has passed. I told you that today. I don't know if you understood me or not, but I told you the millennium has already passed. That 1,000 years, the dragon was bound. You could not worship anything you wanted to. You had to worship at their altars. You had to do their way, or else they would kill you. There was no tolerance in those days. He said then it was loose for a time, for a short space. After that, the dragon was out of that pit. But that pit, now he don't look like a dragon anymore. He would be too scary. Now he changes his way of thinking. He just says, because there's a lamb-like beast comes out of the earth. And he says, worship at the church of your choice. He speaks just like the dragon. He just said a little smoother. He just changed his tone, Brother Rusty.
Yeah, true.
The same spirit that went into the pit came out of the pit. He may have changed his clothes, but he's the same spirit.
Yes.
It's not a literal lamb-like beast. It's not a literal dragon. Not literal. These beasts are not literal. They are symbolic pictures.
Amen.
So the 1,000 years that the people are looking for, when it will reign with Christ and not have any trouble at all, you're not going to see that. It's not going to happen. As long as we have a devil to fight with, we're going to have trouble. He said, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. That's a guarantee. If you want to live godly, persecution's coming.
Amen.
If you're not bothering the devil, he probably won't bother you. He don't bother his own kids, you know.
That's right.
So if the devil ain't chasing, he's done got you. But anyway, so when you see that there, he's bound for 1,000 years, know that that's in the past, not a literal dragon, that was a spirit of worship any god you want to. Keep reading, he says, and when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan was loosed out of his prison and shall go out and deceive the nations, which are the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather together the battle to battle, the number of them which is the sand of the sea. And there and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's not literal fire. I'm putting some fire tonight to try to burn that stuff up. Fire is the judgment of God. And the beloved city of God, that's the church of God. I'm not saying the church of God is in the building. Anybody who's saved, living free from sin, is in the church of God. I don't care what name they take, they're in the church of God. But that's what the city is talking about. Because it says in the next chapter, if you keep reading, it said, I, John, saw a city coming down from heaven, not going up. I saw a city coming down from heaven. And he's talking about the church of God. Because he said it's the new Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Well, Sister Wilson, there's never going to be another Jerusalem other than one sitting over there in the desert country. That new Jerusalem is today. We're living in. We're citizens of a heavenly country.
Yeah.
We're no longer part of this world. We're part of another world while we just sojourn here waiting to get to heaven. But that new city, New Jerusalem, you read in Hebrews, it says, ye are come.
Yes.
Ye are come. Present tense. That was 2,000 years ago, present tense.
Yeah.
Ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, unto a heavenly Jerusalem.
Right.
And the scripture says that Jerusalem is the mother of us all.
That's right.
Now, it can't be a literal mother. It's talking about those who are saved are in the new Jerusalem. They are new Jews of a new city, and he's talking about it right here. And the devil deceived them, was cast in like a fire and brimstone, and where the beast, the false prophet, shall be tormented forever, night and day. That's all I got. That's all scripture I got. But I'm hoping that you see now that the kingdom is not coming in the future. It is a present day reality. We live in it. We move in it. If we're saved, if we're not, we're not of the kingdom of God. Then we don't have to worry about no rapture. You ain't got to worry about no millennium. You got to have bark in your hand to buy bread. That stuff's all made up superstition. It's all good reading material, but it's fiction. Oh, yeah. I mean, Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye sold 13 million copies of a series. I should have copyrighted mine and sold it. But it's the same thing. It's fiction. I made it up. Anybody got any questions? Comments? I'm hoping now that tomorrow somebody says, you know, are you afraid of the mark of the beast? Are you afraid of this? You have an answer to give them. Not just, well, and then somebody can tell you, well, I don't believe it that way. Why don't you believe it? We've done it at Carowinds, and we make them dress like they're going to church.
Yeah.